I invite you to turn with me again to the portion we just read together in 1 Kings chapter 17. And we'll be taking particular note of the verses 7 to 13 this morning. Let's just bow for a moment in prayer before we come to the preaching of the word. Our Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence among us already this morning. Even in the singing of the hymns and prayer being offered, Lord, and in our worship of Thee. Father, as we come now to consider Thy word which is before us, we cry on to Thee, Lord, for help. We acknowledge afresh, Lord, our need of Thee. Father, we need to hear from Thee. We need to hear Thy speaking voice this day. O Lord, pour out Your Spirit upon us each one today. Give us ears to hear Thy word. O Lord, help us then not to be hearers only, but doers of Thy word. Father, I pray, Lord, You'll take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. May they be acceptable in Thy sight even this day, my Lord, and strengthen my Redeemer. Pray for those that mourn. May Your hand of blessing be upon them this day also. Bless us now, we pray. Shut us in with Thyself for the remainder of this meeting. Which in our Saviour's name we ask these things and for His sake. Amen. Amen. Well, in the opening verse of this chapter before us, which we have just read, we find Elijah hiding by the brook Cherith, and how that under threat of his life and in obedience to the command of the Lord, he went and dwelt there by that brook. Up there in the rocks, it was that place of seclusion. It was a secluded place, a place of solitude, or a place of loneliness. Elijah went there and resided there in that seclusion, that solitude, with his heart aching with loneliness. And James tells us in chapter 5 and verse 17 that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And folks, this morning, at the very outset of our service together this morning, I want you to realize this, that despite the prominent place that Elijah was given in the Scriptures, he was a man subject to like passions, just as you and me. Sometimes walking in the will of the Lord and serving Him can be a lonely stand, and Elijah would have experienced such loneliness during this time in which he dwelt by the brook Cherith. We read of the anguish and loneliness felt of the prophet Jeremiah in his day in Jeremiah 15 and 15. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of Thy hand. And just as Jeremiah felt the loneliness, so did the prophet Elijah. Elijah was just a man with feelings, cares, and worries, just like you and just like me. And there he dwelt in that secluded place of Cherith, that place of solitude. But also it was a place of silence. As we look back to the period of these verses, between verses 2 and verses 8, if you look with me there in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and then there was silence. Right through to verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying. It was a period of silence, and however, there's not a mention of the speaking voice of the Lord recorded for us in which that time when Elijah dwelt there by the brook. We could say the silence was deafening. And are there not times, friends, in our lives and in our service for the Lord that the silence can be deafening? You know, there's preaching. But there's no one getting saved. There's door-to-door work, evangelism. But there doesn't seem to be anyone coming into the meetings. There's children's meetings, and sometimes even working with the kids, and they can be lively, and you feel as if there's nothing going in. We find it hard to believe even they hear a word we say. But friends, this morning we are to be, in the words of the Apostle Paul of the church at Corinth, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The prophet Elijah remained there at Cherith, received the Lord's provision via the ravens and drank of the brook. Oh, he could have went on up to the River Jordan for water, but he didn't. In fact, he never moved from Cherith until we read in verse 7 of our text. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath. And this was the case for Elijah. The brook dried up, and the Lord told him to go to Zarephath. Sometimes the Lord requires us to move on in life, and this is what just happened to Elijah. And he makes things where we are rather uncomfortable before opening up that way to move forward. And this was so for Elijah. The brook dried up. The Lord led him on. He instructed him to go to Zarephath. The title for our message this morning is simply Onward and Upward. Onward and upward. The prophet Elijah, having remained at the brook for up to a year now, is instructed of the Lord to go to Zarephath, which was about 75 miles north of Cherith. And as we consider the journey of the prophet Elijah this morning, I would like us firstly to consider he was sent to an unlikely city. He was sent to an unlikely city. In the verse 9 of our text, we see, And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Of all the places the Lord could have instructed his servant Elijah to go, he directs him to go to Zarephath. This was Jezebel's homeland. If you look back with me there to 1 Kings 16 in the verse 30, there we read, or 31, And it came to pass, 16 and 31, and it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he, that is Ahab, took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, which means with Baal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. Elijah is instructed, friends, to go and dwell amongst wickedness and darkness. Think of how he must have felt upon receiving such instruction of the Lord. He was the most wanted man in Israel at that time. Obadiah later told him, as we read across in 1 Kings 18 in the verse 10, As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whether my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. He was the most wanted man in Israel. And he was sent, yes, he was sent outside of Israel to such an unlikely place. Is it not true, men and women and young people, this morning, that the Lord sometimes takes us from our comfort zones to teach us that fresh reliance upon Him? You know, when the missionary John G. Patton was translating the scripture for the South Sea Islanders, he was unable to find a word for their vocabulary for the concept of believing or trusting or having faith. And one day while he was sitting in his hut translating, a native came running up stairs into his study or his hut, and he flopped down in the chair and exhausted. He said to Patton, It's so good to rest my whole weight upon this chair. And John Patton had his word, Faith is resting your whole weight upon God. What about you this morning? Have you found yourself sailing through uncharted waters? The Lord brought you to this unfamiliar territory. Or are you rebelling even against His providential plan for your life just because you cannot understand or accept it? as difficult as it may be for each and every one of us, we must have faith. And that means resting our whole weight upon God, our whole weight upon Him. And sinner friend, this morning in the gathering, surely this is an apt time to exhort you also. Ask you that question, are you resting your whole weight of your guilt and sin upon the Lord Jesus Christ by faith unto salvation? Elijah was a man just as you and me, and experienced these feelings of disappointment and discouragement. But not only was he sent to an unlikely city, he was sustained by an unusual source. In verse 9 we see again, "Arise, go, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain you." The life of the true child of God, friends, is a walk of faith. Continual, consistent faith. And oh boy, was it going to take faith like never before for Elijah. As he went forward in the will of the Lord, fed by a widow. Fed by a widow woman. And in many respects, in the affluent society in which we live today, friends, we can lose sight of the significance of this portion that we have just read together. Perhaps there are those amongst us this morning in the gathering with the benefit of years can look back and remember days when there were no supermarkets, when certain foods only became available while in season, even when bread itself was a luxury, when it was just baked every day fresh. Let's be honest, friends, this morning. Each and every one of us here today have no real knowledge of what true poverty really is. But when we consider this portion before us, oh, what a sight. Oh, what a sight as we look down from the verse 10 and Elijah, as he enters into Zarephath, and when he came to the gate and he beheld that woman there gathering sticks. Gathering up a few sticks to take it home, to make that fire, to bake that cake. You know, she was at her last. There was nothing left. She had failed. Her flesh had left her. She knew that she was starving. And yet and all, there she was gathering those sticks, going home to bake that cake for herself and her son and to die. And then this man comes and asks her, "Oh, make a cake for me first. Prepare for me first." Turn over with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy 10 and 17. Deuteronomy 10 and 17, the law of Moses made provision for the Hebrew widows and orphans. Deuteronomy 10, 17, "And the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment." You see, back in those days, friends, the Hebrew widows and orphans were taken care of under this law of Moses. The widow and the fatherless were considered as one in those days, both forced to live in an impoverished state due to no fault of their own. But I want you to note something this morning about this widow in which we have read of. This widow was not a Hebrew widow. This was a Gentile widow. She wasn't privy to all these privileges which Hebrew widows did have under the law of Moses. But yet in all, the Lord saw to it that both were looked after, as well as provided for His servant Elijah. There's also an interesting point to note here, as we see Elijah as a type of Christ in verse 13. "And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first." Elijah, friends, had to be fed first. And friends, this morning, Christians amongst us in the gallery, Christ must be first. In all our plans, in all our ambitions, Christ must have preeminence. He must be first. Everyone and everything else around must come after him. The ravens knew the order of things. They could have flown anywhere. But at the commandment of the Lord, they brought fresh bread and flesh to Elijah. The Gentile widow, she knew the order of things. Oh, starving herself. And you know how many amongst us, even this morning, oh, we may be starving ourselves and we give our last bite to somebody. But this widow was starving, and not only was she starving, so was her son. How many of us would give the last bite of our child? I don't know, would I? But this widow knew the order of things. Hungry herself, responsible for a hungry son she loved dearly. But at the commandment of the Lord, she fed God's servant first. Do we really know the order of things, friends? How they should be? The challenge to both saint and to sinner this morning is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In all things, Christ must have preeminence. But the prophet Elijah was sent to the unlikely city. He was sustained by an unusual source, but he was in submission to a unique strategy. What was that unique strategy? Elijah was going through some preparation. The name Zarephath means smelting place or refinery. And in those days, it was an industrious place, a place where raw metal was refined. Unwanted elements or impurities in the raw material were removed. Did you ever stop to think, friend, this morning of your current situation? Is the Lord refining you? Is the Lord bringing you through something that he has brought you into this particular position in your life to refine you, advance you in your walk with your Savior and Lord? So you can say like Job of old, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. But also we read of Zarephath in 2 Kings 9 and 22, and it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu, that he said, "It is peace, Jehu. Is it peace, Jehu?" And he answered, "What peace so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many?" Zarephath was that place of wickedness, darkness, idolatry, of Baal worship. Yet the Lord used Elijah's time there to develop a hatred for that which was wrong and a greater love for that which was right. Is that so of us this morning, friends? Have we that love for that which is right and a hatred for that which is wrong, which is against God and his law? Revealed to us in the scriptures. God is a hater of sin, yet a lover of the sinner. And so must we, if we're truly a disciple of his this morning. Maybe you're here today and you're going amidst a trial, yet you don't know why. Well, Elijah was then, friend, well, you are now. And we call what is happening, or what was happening to him then, preparation with the benefit of hindsight. But the reality is, he didn't know then any more than what you or I know now about why or what regard with what the future may hold for us. He was going through preparation for that day which was approaching, when he would challenge the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. But not only was the purpose of this unique strategy for the preparation of God's servant Elijah, it was for the presentation of God's salvation. Turn back with me, or forward with me, if you would, over into the New Testament, to Luke's Gospel in chapter 4. Luke's Gospel in the chapter 4, verse 24. And he said, "Verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And this is making reference to Elijah going outside of Israel into Zarephath. "But I tell you a truth, many widows were in Israel the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when the great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Zarephath," or Zarephath, "a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow." Elijah became the first prophet to the Gentiles. Her name is not recorded for us, either in the Old or New Testaments. She's just told and recorded, told to us and recorded as the widow of Zarephath that fed Elijah. But friends, this morning I can assure you, God knows her name. God knows her name. And friend, this morning, regardless of the difficulties or trials or whatever you may be going through, and sometimes that feeling of loneliness overwhelms you, God knows your name. God knows your plight just as He did that of the widows. And of all the widows in Israel, Elijah was sent to this one Gentile widow. The Lord used her to provide for him, and used Elijah to present her the message of salvation. We see her conversation in verse 42 of the chapter we read together, 1 Kings 17 in the verse 42. "And the woman said to Elijah, 'Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. The word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth.'" You see, friends, each and every Christian here in the meeting this morning have a choice with regard to our circumstances in which we may find ourselves in even today. We can either despise them and rebel against them, rebel against God's perfect plan for our lives. Walk away, turn our back on them, thinking we have a better plan. We have greater things that needs to be attended to. Or we can delight in them. That situation we can do nothing about. Maybe we're brought to that point that we can do nothing about it, so that we will delight in Him. We can delight in our situation. "Delight thyself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of thine heart." Jeremiah 29 and 11, that wonderful verse. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end." It's wonderful this morning to see so many boys and girls and young people even in the gathering this morning in the Lord's house. Maybe you're here under duress. Maybe mom or dad, or granny or granddad called for you and told you, come on to church this morning. If so, I have sat where you sat. Remember when a wee boy trailed out to church and had a quite happily done some extra chores about the farm rather than go. But my parents were faithful, brought us out to the church day by day, Sunday by Sunday. Maybe you've no real feeling or no real desire to be here. Is it not time, young person, that you submitted your life to God, to that unique strategy, that unique plan that He has for you? Is it not time you were saved? Maybe you're not even saved this morning. You don't even know what it is to be saved, to have that assurance, despite having heard the gospel preached in this place for years. Is it not time you sought the Lord today? I also want to just say to young people this morning, if you choose to despise God's plan for your life, you can make mistakes when you're young. That despite God's forgiveness, and He will forgive, He's a forgiving God. You could live the remainder of your life with the consequences. Will you not submit to the unique strategy that God has for your life this morning? Don't despise your upbringing, but rather delight in it. So read in Daniel, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Young believers in the meeting, I exhort you to submit to God's unique strategy for you. He has one for each and every one of you individually. And it's the only way that you'll find true peace and contentment in your life. May the Lord grant each and every one of us here this morning, even as His children, the grace to go forward, onward and upward, in our walk with Him, knowing and believing that despite our circumstances, though they may seem illogically at times, humanly speaking, even as Elijah's were, that God has a unique plan and a purpose for every child of His, knowing that the trial of our faith worketh patience. And as for God, His ways, they are perfect. May each and every one of us be as shining lights before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven.